afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio on a sunny Sunday afternoon here. Microphone's not actually hooked to the stand. There we go.
Yeah, you're looking good.
We had some logistics to do there. So,
now the previous show likes to mess with you, you know.
I know. All of a sudden it's like,
booby trap all the microphones.
It's true that they're all like hanging by a thread. It's happening. People fidgeting with them. Oh, my goodness. So, my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
So now you can identify some of the voices, and our guest is MIA here. Oh, there he is.
Yes, he and his dog were indisposed.
The dog ran in the potty for a second. Oh, my goodness. Well, we might as well get the laughing out because this will be the end of it. This will be the end of the laughing. Oh, my gosh. This is going to be a frustrating topic today. Our city governments. And we're not even going to get into county governments, but we're going to look at a city government today, a specific example. But it could be coming to a city near you. And so the idea is, as you listen to the goofy stuff that's going on here, and
consider your own town. Take a hard look.
And at the end of the day, too, you know, you'll wind up with some clues to look for.
Yeah.
In your own city and all of its
glory,
luster. Yeah. Just in case you thought it had luster, maybe it didn't have luster because people in Reading think it has luster and.
Instead of luster, it's got bling.
We're dropping the luster bomb today. It's not going to be good. So just by way of housekeeping, you can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. And archives back into, I don't know, 2010 or something?
2009, I think.
I don't know.
2010 was when the show started.
Yeah, it's kind of a long time.
What do I know?
Yeah.
I was doing coffee
but
back then.
Bill was hiding out in the lobby, refusing to come through the door. I'm never going in there. I'm never talking on the radio.
I had microphone phobia.
That obviously went away. So, anyway.
Tomorrow will be my 6th anniversary on the show.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. You were here after, like, almost, it wasn't even a year, was it?
I believe I had been with the radio station for about 6 months before I joined.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you were here for a long time before that. Huh?
No. Well, in this business, 6 months is a long time. But
it's like dog years.
No, if I'm remembering correctly, which I'm pretty sure I am, the first show I did was on September 11th of 2011.
Some
other year? 2011, wow. Yeah.
No kidding.
6 years ago.
Well, I'm glad somebody pays attention. Yeah, the archives, we've got them all commercial free for you. It's sitting in there, and I listed the topics for some folks a couple of weeks ago. We've really run the gamut. There's a little bit of everything in there. And always looking for your ideas and suggestions. You can always email them to us or give us a call. That information's all on the site. So, without jamming things up further, everybody's in their chair. The microphones are hooked to the things. And I think we're ready to go.
We're ready to rock.
So, we have Patrick Jones with us today. Grew up in Reading, attended Shasta College. This is probably needed to be updated, so you can give me the high sign when I blow it. I went to Shasta College and Sacramento State University for the past 28 years. I tried to advance the years based on when we had you on the show last time.
Well, I finished Sac State in 1990.
Mm.
And so, so it was about 27 years after that. But I grew up in Reading. I worked at Jones's Fort Gun Shop my whole life. So from the age of 4 when I started working.
Oh, yeah, it's longer than 28 years.
Yeah, so people ask me that all the time, how long you've been working in it. And so I don't know what to tell them. They're going to call me a liar one way or the other. And if I tell them the truth, they're going to say that's impossible.
I've been working here since I was 4.
It's like you can't be that old.
I say 20-plus years or something just to appease them, but it's been a long time. It's been a lifetime. And but most people in the private sector and small businesses, you know, we work a lot longer than what, some of these folks at City Hall work.
So you're not like rich land barons just, you know, sitting around collecting money, huh?
And in addition to working my entire life, I work 6 days a week. And so not 4 or 5, but 6, and I have from my entire life.
See, and I always thought you could have retired, 15 years ago. You just love to work.
Yeah, well.
He's just a crazy worker. He was also active on the city council. He was a member of the city council from 2006 to 2014.
Correct.
And your thing, that entire time, super unpopular. Well, okay, I should qualify that. For people who actually care about what's actually going on, was not super unpopular. But for the, city fathers, as it were, and the people who just want to think everything's fine, talking about the city living within its means and dealing with budgetary issues and oncoming pension crises and all those sorts of things, super unpopular. Yep.
Yeah, you know, and you know, we all watched it, you know, if people lived here in the Redding area and really anywhere in the country and certainly in California, we saw the big boom years of 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, we saw that high economy, but I knew that that was a bubble and that it would not last. And anybody that had any common sense knew that as well. But the way they were planning and spending was as if those types of gains would go on for 1,000 years, literally. We all knew this was a big problem, particularly with pensions. But all throughout city government, they're spending beyond their means. And so as soon as I got elected in late 2006, December, I was sworn in. Won election in November, barely, by 89 votes, and got sworn in. And then starting in 2007, the economy started to turn, and just as a lot of us expected. Now, we didn't know that it would go down, you know, 10% quarter after quarter after quarter for like two straight years, but it was a global recession that of a type that we hadn't seen for a while. But I knew that was coming, and so I constantly disagreed with city staff. They were acting as if this
it's
is just
going to turn around next month.
Yeah, next year it'll be fine. And so constantly disagreeing with them and even calling for our city manager to resign. And that was very unpopular in closed session, and people didn't like that. But the reality was that they were spending as if there was no change. And the world changed. Our city changed. And certainly California has changed with that global recession. And we have not recovered yet. And to make matters worse, the city has been spending and overspending so much that they've been stealing money from every pot that we can, particularly out of the utility,
just the electric utility. Just to keep the pace of what they're used to.
Because a lot of cities don't have, well, should we take a swift break, Bob? Should we actually do it on time? I just want to point this out. It is 12:15 now.
We'll confuse everybody.
It's actually 12:15. Take the break. It's kind of fun when somebody's in the studio because you can kind of give them the eyeball clue, you know, on the phone. Yeah, we suck at that, actually. Things we suck at, put that on the list. So you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. You guys used to play that right before city council, right?
Yeah.
It's like your theme song. So we were talking on the break that you know, everybody lives in a town of some size, you know, some small, some big. But you probably are more familiar with the specific demographic of
the city. Well, you know, and Reading has, you know, we saw good growth in the 1990s, and we saw a little bit of growth, good growth in the early 2000s. But then, as we hit the global recession, that growth stopped. And to this day,
and it stopped.
It stopped immediately. And in fact, we're down about 4,000 people. We're down about 10%. Our town has not grown over the last 10 years.
So what are we? 90?
We're about 89,000 and change, and we were up to 94,000. And so, what's happening are people are leaving Reading, good people, and I know from my customers, I hear it every week. Good long-term customers, been here 20, 30 years, and they're leaving for Idaho, Nevada, name it, they're leaving.
But a lot of that is not necessarily Reading, it's the whole California picture.
Part of it is California, but part of it is Reading. People are getting very upset with
crime,
what's happening in Reading.
The homelessness, all that stuff.
Yeah, right. And I would say it's about 50-50. 50% of it is they are tired of what's happening in California, over-regulation on every level, and that's certainly very strong. And then for the other group, it's that plus the quality of life here now is deteriorating to the point where it's affecting them.
Sure.
Cars are being broken into. Houses are, I mean, when your house gets broken into more than once, you really don't feel like you're safe anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's happening to people.
And, well, and when they do catch the ones that are breaking into the houses, they
nothing
basically
happens.
Pinch them and turn them loose.
Right. Yeah,
so. Well, there's nowhere to put them, so it isn't.
Right.
Yeah, it isn't like we're happy with it.
But that's just another
right. Just to
part of the problem.
I mean, they were making estimates in the boom that Reading by now should have been about 130,000 people, and they were counting on that revenue because of their spending.
Sure.
And so, but that didn't happen. So now their spending is outpaced. How many people are here? And in fact, the town has shrunk. That's a serious problem. And then to make matters worse for the city, CalPERS has had some new actuarials, and we're on the hook for a lot more than people know. And you're not going to read it in the paper.
And this is for the pension program.
This is
for
the
public
pensions.
Employees.
And so now it's going to eat up more money in the general fund. So we've got less people in Reading. We have less things being bought and sold. And so that's hurting the city. We have now higher amounts that we're going to have to pay towards pensions. And it is why your city manager of 10 years or so has recently left, is because of that reason. He's seen those numbers. And he knows exactly what those numbers mean. It means there's going to be huge pressure on the general fund in the next few years, and quite likely you are going to lose police officers more. You're going to have to close fire stations. I mean, you're going to have to make some hard decisions. And we've made those decisions, you know, tough decisions in the past in the global recession, but they're going to be big now. And on top of that, the pilot lawsuit with Walt McNeil should be coming around within a year. And he is likely to win that, as he should, because he is correct.
Okay, now explain that one.
The pilot, the city of Reading, because we have our own electric utility, is charging the utility a payment in lieu of property tax.
So that's the pilot.
That's
acronym.
The pilot. And that's around $6.5 million a year. And they've been doing so for a long time. But about 5 years ago, there was a proposition that passed that said, hey, if you have a tax, the public has to vote on it. So send it out to the voters, and they'll tell you yes or no. And if they tell you yes, you can continue to do it. If they tell you no, you have to stop. City of Reading, in closed session with Kurt Starman and Barry Tippin and these folks, they said, no, we're not going to do that. I mean, shoot, a lawsuit, you know, might go on for 4 or 5 years, and we'll be up $40 million.
Time, here we go again.
And we'll be out of here, yeah. And somebody else has to clean up. And I said, well, but if you lose, you have to pay it back. And that's – so not only are we going to be short $6.5 million, but you might have to pay a large chunk of that back. 20-30 million, that's coming up in a year. And so that's, we don't have that money.
Where's that going to come
so,
from?
And that's the kind of management that we had, and that was the type of management that was instructing council to not do that. Walt McNeil came and warned council twice, you should put this out to the vote. It's very important. Their refusal to do so prompted Walt McNeil, a prominent attorney here in town, to pursue a lawsuit. He has won in Superior Court. And they have agreed with him. The city's appealed that, and they're seeing what's happening on the appeal. Now, it has a lot of ramifications up and down California. Other cities have been doing it, but at much bigger levels. Well, again, they've all failed to do what's legally responsible and put that out to the vote of the people. In addition to that, the city has been stealing the late fees, over $2 million a year in late fees from the electric utility, and putting that over in the general fund. Which is totally wrong because it has nothing to do with the city's general fund. It came from the utility. Your rates should be lower. Mm-hmm. We have a very good electric utility, very high quality. We have good people running it. Mm-hmm. It's not, and people always get the wrong impression. Because
I got to say that was probably one of the best moves they ever made. Was
having their own utility is very
their own
smart.
Utility. And, yeah. And I remember when they
well,
did
it always
that.
Made you know should you because we had never lived in the city. We had always. Well, we lived in the city briefly, but then we lived in the county for a long time. And when we moved into the city, we thought, well, this actually would probably be a good thing because Pacific Gas and electric rates were going through the roof.
Sure.
So we thought, wow,
yeah,
this is going to make
it always lower.
Yeah, this
lower.
Is going to make a huge, huge difference, but it's not as huge a difference.
We should have really one of the lowest electric rates in the state. We really should. We have our own electric utility that is ours. It's owned by the people of Reading, mm-hmm. and the goal is to have good, solid, reliable electric utility services, but in addition to have very good rates. The city continues to raise those rates because they keep stealing money in various other
and
manners.
And using it for other things in the city.
Absolutely. Here's another great theft that they just did. And I voted no on the police facility because it's on the backs of the electric utility. And it was a total theft. And
to build the police
police facility.
The police station?
They kicked the electric utility out of City Hall. Well, they paid one-third of that building. They paid for it. The electric utility paid to build one-third of City Hall. So that was owned, one-third of it was by the ratepayers. So they kicked them out without compensation and put the police in. And so now the utility had to go on Airport Road and for $12 million build a new facility.
Yep.
So you built the police facility on the backs of the ratepayers. Total theft. And again, I try to explain that to the paper, and they won't print it, but it's a theft. It's a theft, and they're milking the utility as a cash cow. Now, there was a much bigger
okay, so
story.
Wait, before you leave that, though. Okay, so I'm always trying to look, what would the other guy say? Okay, so some other people would probably say, I'm just guessing, that, well, the people get the benefit of the police, and they have the benefit of the public utility, so what difference does it make if the public utility pays for that? It's all the same thing, it's all the same people, and they're all still benefiting from all of that.
Well, what I would say to that is that your electric utility is a freestanding enterprise fund. It doesn't fund anything else. And if you start going down that track of doing good things, because having a new police facility is a good thing. Their old facility was old and decrepit, and it wasn't a great building. It was working, but it wasn't very nice, but it was working. But nevertheless, it did need to be replaced. But there's a right time and a place to do it. If you manage your general fund correctly, that's where that money comes from. You don't constantly keep stealing from the electric utility, because pretty soon you're going to say, you know what, I need a trail. Boy, that trail's a wonderful trail, and let's just take it out of the utility. And, hey, I like, you know, that theater over there is a great theater. They need a new building. Let's take it out of the utility. Or, hey, we want to stop these people over here from building, so let's buy that piece of property as a spite strip. Oh, yeah, the utility did that. So you got to be very careful about taking money out of something where it really has no business, you know, being taken from. And then the city has had a history of it. And
because then the city, well, it's a little bit like your kid is on a certain allowance, which we didn't have money for allowance.
Well,
but,
Social Security. On an allowance, Social Security is a great
steal
example.
Money out of your wallet in the background. So
once you start going down the wrong path, it's hard to turn around.
When they bought that utility company out there,
yes,
the whole deal at that time was we're going to have our own utility and we'll have one of the cheapest rates, and the city will really benefit by having cheap power. And there was a lot of controversy over whether or not they should buy that. And they did it, and it turned out a good thing.
Now, if you run it well, and you really can, and we really should still have and you know, it's not that our electric utility prices are sky high.
No,
but they're higher than they should be. They're higher than they should be.
What keeps it from being a standalone enterprise, because you have
the problem is the board of directors for the utility is your Reading City Council. The Reading City Council is controlled by city management.
So is that how they get around it?
That's how they get around it. Now, we created, when I was on council, we created a citizens oversight committee.
Right.
Just to start to look at it. And as soon as I was voted out of office, they got rid of it that month.
Yep.
And they didn't want any new eyeballs on it, and they didn't want any hard looks at it. And
there was some stuff about to come out on that, too, when they shut it all down. I heard that's why they did it. They didn't want any of that information
out. You know, and so, again, when you're using something as a cash cow, you need more secrecy. And to be honest, city council members, and I was one for, you know, 8 years, and when you're making decisions and policy decisions on the entire city, all the utilities, the electric utility, police, fire, you name it, are you experts in any one of those areas? Are we an expert? We really know very little about the electric
utility.
Well,
politicians typically aren't experts in anything.
Correct.
That's who.
Well, how could you be? I mean, citizens aren't either.
I mean, it's a full-time job to really understand any separate division, let alone a part-time city council. In fact, every time I said, you know what, city council should be a full-time job, easily, I was ridiculed. Very much for that, and they want it the way that it is so that staff can easily make recommendations. Because we have lack of knowledge, we must accept it, because we don't have any other knowledge than what we're being
told.
And that leads me into my big concern. I call it the Michael Brown case. And Michael Brown was an interesting fellow. I don't believe I ever met him, but he came to City Hall to work in about 2012, as I recall, and he was terminated after 6 months, and City said he was not a good fit.
What was he supposed to be doing?
Well, he was working within the utility, and he had two degrees. He had a law degree and a degree in electrical engineering or something of that sort. So the city, when they interviewed him, they thought this guy, you know, he's interviewed well, and he's
qualified.
Got two separate degrees. He could do very well. In fact, he could maybe rise to the top in the utility. So they had a lot of hope for him, and a very smart guy, and he's got a very good resume. I didn't know him, and personnel issues like that council members would rarely ever see. But because this guy was terminated and I saw the word not a good fit, that caught my attention. I've seen it before, and that usually to me is a red flag as to what wasn't such
AKA
a good fit.
AKA will not play ball.
And he made some strong allegations. He said at the time that our electric utility director, our acting director, Tim Nichols, was taking bribes from Shell Oil. And, of course, that's a big accusation.
Yeah, that is.
And he's also said we had some corrupt dealings with some gas purchases that we did that I was involved in, that I approved. And city council or city management quickly said he was not credible. It was in the paper briefly in 2012. He did sue the city for wrongful termination, and eventually it just simply went away. And eventually I talked to his attorney, and they just simply said, you know what, everybody at City Hall is going to lie. The city manager is going to lie. Barry Tippin's going to lie. Kurt Starman's going to lie. These guys are all going to lie. And this guy was only there for 6 months. And, you know, it's going to be very tough for us to prevail in court. And so I talked to them and I said, you know, it looks like this guy has some merit. I got an email a few months after Michael Brown was terminated, and maybe it was about a year after he was terminated, that, and I don't even know who sent me the email. Either I don't know or I don't remember. It's been a few years. Where the FPPC caught Tim Nichols.
The Fair Political
Practice Commission, which is a watchdog group out of Sacramento.
They
found something out. So I think we need to take a break and we can talk about that when we come back.
The suspense. I know. All of a sudden I'm like, oh, Bob, fun killer. All right, take a break. So we're delving into the city of Reading, but it could be coming to a town near you. So we don't know what's going on in your town, but if this isn't a warning, I guess, that it's time to pay attention to what's going on in all of our little towns and cities, and big ones too. There's a lot more to it than meets the eye. We'll be back with our guest, Patrick Jones, here at We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Something that you don't understand. Still you wonder who's cheating who, who's being true, who don't even care anymore. It makes you wonder who's doing right with someone tonight and whose car is parked next door.
So there we kind of have the theme song to your time on City Council. Lots of themes, lots of songs. Okay, so on the break, you were talking about the rape. But I hate to, we always have to redo. On the break, we should all be like in the cone of silence or something, you know, so we can't talk to each other.
Well, we had this, we were talking about the FPPC, and Tim Nichols was caught by the Fair Political Practice Commission. Taking a bribe from Shell Oil, a Rolex watch valued at over $8,000, and he was fined $5,500, and I received this email. Now, that's a pretty big deal. Normally, you'd be terminated. I mean, you're taking a bribe.
Right. And he was the head of...
Acting director at the time. Okay. And so, here he's caught taking a bribe, and this is one of Michael Brown's allegations that Tim was taking bribes. Now the FPPC has caught him taking a bribe. I get the email.
But Mr. Brown already is down the road.
He's already down the road.
Okay.
But I see this email had been CC'd to the city or to Record Searchlight 3 weeks before.
The newspaper.
The newspaper had this information for 3 weeks, wouldn't print it. Wouldn't print was going to protect the city and protect Mr. Nichols.
Now, why do you think the Record Searchlight is in the tank for the city?
Don't know exactly. So I called up Jenny Esmino the very day I got that email and said, hey, I see you've had this. And why is it not in the paper? I said, you are protecting them, and this is an issue. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, we're not. And I said, if it was me, it would be in the front page, and I would be released from my duties at City Hall.
Yeah.
So the next day, they put it in the paper. And of course, they had our city manager, Kurt Starman, coming on board with his quote saying, you know, it's to our credit that Tim Nichols is such, you know, he's paid this. And so it's so wonderful we have great city employees.
Wow. But the fact that that's quite a spin there.
Yeah, it's quite a spin. So it made it look as if we have good city employees. And we do have a lot of good city employees. But when you have a bad one, he should have been terminated and fired. And then now this gives credibility to Michael Brown because he said he was taking bribes. Now, what's really important here is he took a bribe from Shell. Why is he getting bribes from Shell Oil?
That was the question.
Well, we deal with Shell. And we deal with Shell in a big way. And one of those ways was a few years before Michael Brown got there, and this goes to one of his other allegations, was that the city came to us, council members, and I was one of them at the time, and they said, hey, a lot of our gas purchases are coming to an end. And that's what runs our gas turbines to run the power, to run the city, and they're coming to an end. And we're struggling to find any good long-term contracts, but we have one, just one. And it's a $400 million purchase. And we all took a step backwards and said, you're kidding, right? And they said, no. And they said, actually, it's bigger than that. It's $1.5 billion gas purchase. But we're going to go into partners with our sister cities, Santa Clara and Modesto. And they're going to pick up the lion's share of it at $1.1 million. But we are going to purchase $400 million. But we only use it, buy it if we need it. So if we don't need it, we don't use it. And if we need it, we buy it. And then we also they also mentioned that it's not the best price that we've ever paid. And we asked, what price is it? And they said, well, it's about 7 cents a decatherm. And somebody noted, don't we normally pay about 3.5 to 4 cents a decatherm? Yeah, but again, even though this is high, we can lock it in, and we only need it if we need it. If we don't, we don't. And that's how it was explained to council. And that was Barry Tippin explaining that and Kurt Starman explaining that to council. And council all accepted that because that was the only information that we had. And that was the only gas purchase that was available at the time from the information that we got.
Mm.
Well, the reality is, for the city of Reading, you bought $400 million worth of gas at 7 cents a decatherm. That's what you bought. Now, to put that in perspective, and this is what Michael Brown did in his allegation, is that why did you buy 13? You're going to have to use 13,000 decatherms a day when your power plant uses less than 2,000.
Oh,
what are you going to do with all this gas? What would you can't possibly use it. Or do you think your city is going to expand 10 times overnight?
So who are we selling it to?
So what are we doing? So we're selling that on the wholesale spot market, and it's speculation of public funds, and it's illegal.
Yeah.
We have never used that gas for our own purposes. Michael Brown figured that out real quick, and he started making some strong statements as to, hey, you purchased this. You got council approval to do so because they didn't tell the full story. And now they're selling it on the spot market. Now, with 488 cities in California, you can always catch cities that are short on gas. And so they're selling it feverishly every day and up on the second floor with three cubicles. And they're making a profit on it. In fact, the wholesale market is probably as good as the entire retail market of the city of Reading. They're profiting quite a bit.
So we have like a little casino inside the electric utility.
The problem with it is that when you speculate like that, if the price of gas went down sharply, you're paying 7 cents a decatherm. You can't give it away. You can't sell it for 7 cents. And that's what Michael Brown said, is that you're about to enter into a catastrophe here, possibly, if these gas prices change. And they tried to get him to sell the gas. They tried to actually get him to help them sell the gas. And he refused, and eventually he caved in, and eventually the city said, you're just out of here. You're 6 months probation. You're not a good fit. And so, now, it's a $400 million purchase, and it's at 7 cents a decatherm, basically twice the market rate. It's possible that Shell made a profit of $200 million on this. off of you, the ratepayer for the city of Reading. They may have just profited $200 million off of you in one city in a short time period.
Sure.
That's amazing. Now
and all he got out of it was a watch?
No. Now he got more than a watch.
In fact,
Michael Brown was saying he was getting a lot more, but that's all that he was caught receiving.
Okay.
And so it's alleged that he's been getting a lot more. And I tell you what, if I was a company and I made big, big profits of the tune of millions, possibly hundreds of millions, I'd be given a lot more than a few watches myself.
Mm-hmm. So you said they're selling it on the spot market and making money on
making money.
What are they selling it for?
Well, they're selling it for, obviously, if you're making money, you got to be selling it for over seven cents. And they're catching cities that need it, and we have it. But the records also show that we're not using it. We don't need it.
Even though it may not have been a bad deal.
Yeah.
It's just illegal, though.
Yeah, it's illegal.
It's illegal, and we pay double market rate.
Okay, so when it's illegal, who's the restricting authority? I mean, it's a violation where?
Well,
in what format?
So Michael Brown, he makes these allegations. He gets an attorney. He contacts the FPPC. They can't do anything. The grand jury was contacted. They're not doing anything. The district attorney was contacted. They're not doing anything. So nobody seems to be doing anything at all.
So the fact that they're speculating with public funds.
Well, isn't that what the FPPC is for? Aren't they supposed to investigate that type of activity and protect the public from?
I agree, and something should be done. The problem is here that if the city was found to be in the wrong, which I highly believe that they are, we own the gas.
Right.
And
now what?
Now we can't sell it on the open market. We have to use it. We can't possibly use that amount. So your rates are going to go sky high, catastrophe. And that's, again, what Michael Brown was saying, is that you've got yourself into a real pickle here because nobody's watching, the paper's not watching, and staff lied to council members. No council member in their right mind would have agreed to buy $400 million worth of gas if we knew we had to sell that amount per day. It would have never happened.
Well, aside from the fact that it's illegal, I mean, if they knew it was illegal, did they know it was illegal at the time?
No.
What they were going to do with the overage.
Where was our counsel?
Well, the way it was explained was that we would only buy it if we needed it, which is just simply not true. It made counsel believe, okay, well, yeah, it's high, but man, if we really need it, it's there.
Right.
And so we don't have any brownouts. But if we don't need it, we don't need it. Well, if we don't need it, we don't need it because they're going to sell it on the spot market. And they're going to sell it on the spot market every day. And that's what they've done.
Left that.
And they knew that because they knew we would never need gas at 7 cents a decatherm. It's twice the market rate. Now, Shell Oil setting this up, you know, who brought it to City Hall? And did they have the ability to influence that price? On a huge deal, all those questions are unanswered, and we don't know any of that. But that's the type of problem that can happen in cities up and down California and throughout the nation when you don't have good people at the helm and solid, responsible people looking out for the utility and the welfare of the city. And so we're in very bad shape with that. And eventually, as the truth comes out with that and other things, we'll have some serious, serious problems.
So what's going to you were talking about the lawsuit.
Yeah, so with regards to Walt McNeil, he didn't just sit back, and he warned the city twice that what you're doing is wrong now, and you need to put it to the vote of the people with regards to the payment in lieu of a property tax. But then he didn't sit back. He sued the city. And he won. Now, most attorneys would, you know, because Walt's been at this thing now for, 5 years? He spent I don't know how much time and energy and money. He hasn't made one nickel on it, and he may never, depending on the outcome. So what kind of an attorney would take that on, right? It takes one heck of attorney with some backbone to be able to stand up to a city hall all by yourself, put your life and your fortune on the line to do it, and most will bow down.
And he lives here. It isn't like he's in San Francisco and this is some case he took to make his name.
And with regards to the payment in lieu of the property tax, because the city didn't do that, it forced then Walt to act. And now because there's a lawsuit, it puts cities like San Diego and Los Angeles in huge peril. because they've been stealing up to $150 million a year out of their utility.
So this isn't something that...
This has billions of dollars at stake now.
Right.
So if this case is not overturned on appeal...
They're going to have to pay it back.
Those guys take a bullet, too, because... Oh, yeah.
And that kind of answers the question why nobody's doing anything about it, because all these utilities are guilty, and they don't want the whole house of cards to come crashing.
So now when you're talking not just a few million and not just a few hundred million, now you're talking a much bigger number. Do you think some influence could possibly happen along the way? Mm. Yeah. And so can you get justice when there's so much money at stake? I'm not sure. Because this has drug on so long, I know Walt's probably nervous. I'm a little nervous for getting what's right and truthful out of it. It's drug on because of the consequences that many cities are going to face.
Yeah.
I think the court has ruled that you have to pay back 3 years, maybe more. So for, you know, San Diego or Los Angeles taking around $150 million, I mean, that's like $500 million you got to pay back now, and you're going to lose $150 million out of your general fund forevermore.
So it's in the appeal process right now?
They're appealing it, but it's coming to a wrap up here pretty quick, and so it's getting close.
Wow, the drumbeat.
So that's just on the payment in lieu of, and then you see these other things that are really concerning. And that's why for a city like Reading, you really do need a full-time city council, and you really do need a strong mayor where your city manager is the mayor, and if you don't like him, you can remove him.
Yeah.
Because otherwise these guys stay in there for a long time, and they're entrenched. And the public really needs to have more of an involvement and know. But without the paper and without people printing the truth.
That's the thing. If the newspaper won't do investigative reporting, maybe that's why the newspaper's down to, four pages or something? I mean, I regularly see them blowing down people's driveway, and I'm thinking...
The nickel's bigger.
Right.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's horrible. All right, quick break again. Celebrate a little capitalism here while we still can. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I've always said there was enough to love. Now I hear you bragging, one of not enough. But someone tells me on the side of the spy, you got plans to make me one of 4 or 5. I guess this kind of thing just in your blood. Coming up, my love. I ain't no puzzle piece that needs to fit. If it takes more than me, let's call it quits. Cause I don't wanna go on to you like that. Don't wanna be a failure in your cat. I just don't wanna tell you, honey, I ain't mad. But I don't wanna go on to you like that. Ooh. You can't.
Yes. Soaking that in there. Okay, so again, on the break, we always learn more. How many cities in California? Is it half the cities in California?
Well, we have 488 cities the last time I checked, so it might be a couple more, maybe. But, yeah, about half of them, many of them have electric utilities. And, of course...
And they're all doing the same thing.
You know, the big cities have theirs. And so there's where the big amounts are. The smaller cities, it's much smaller, you know, for the city of
Reading. But it's all relative.
If they've been
using this money, putting it in their general fund, and they have to pay it back...
And if they didn't put it to the vote of the people, you know, 5 years ago, that
how many did? Do you know?
I don't know. I haven't heard of any that have.
Ooh.
And so it's a big issue on the payment in lieu of property tax, and that's just one issue facing the utilities and the general fund. Now, what it'll mean, and I'm very hopeful that Walt is successful on this, not because of all of his hard work and his energy, and because he came to City Hall and he warned them that this is what you needed to do. It was because it helps the utility. It's not continuing to take money from the utility, and it keeps that money with the utility and helps reduce pressure on your rates. In fact, you should have, you know, if he's successful, your rates should be reduced for a change. Mm-hmm. And they won't, but they should.
Which allows people to spend more money.
Spend more money.
In the city.
Sure.
It allows them to do all sorts of things.
Do all sorts of things, and that money gets regurgitated throughout the town.
Sure.
Also, when you have less utility rates, particularly for businesses, you can attract more businesses because of the lighter utility rates. And for some businesses, that's very important. Now, we've talked about Stillwater in the past, and how many jobs has it created? Zero. It has none.
And Stillwater is a business.
Is a business
park. It was
park.
Supposed to be a business park, but never turned into a business park.
Well,
right? Is there anything there?
Is there anybody out there?
No, there is nothing
there.
How much? They have sold. Well, it's.
Ground is it?
Yeah, I think it's 160 acres, something in that neighborhood.
So it's big.
It's a pretty good-sized business park, and when it's all said and done, at least this phase, the taxpayers will have paid $60 million in it. If we sell all the lots, we'll get back $14 million of the $60. Now, it was created to create jobs, which it has created none, and it was for light industry, good-paying jobs. But to try to do that, to attract industry to California, to Northern California, is impossible. The biggest failure with this, and this is a great fact, and it should really show other cities why you do not get involved in these types of things. City has no business in developing because they don't know what they're doing. And that's what developers are for, and they risk their own private sector money, not your taxpayers' money. You've lost
right.
$60 million in this thing, and you've created zero jobs.
And was this a brainstorm mm-hmm. of the city? It wasn't
yes.
like a private thing in the city?
It was the EDC, in conjunction with Mike Warren and city management, all thought, we need shovel-ready, we need a business park, and we need it shovel-ready.
But we had a business park.
We have a business park, and other cities have business parks sitting idle. But again, this was people with great ideas. Unfortunately, they're using your tax dollars.
So do you think there was really an alternative motive to this whole city?
Who's benefiting?
Well, yeah, right now I don't see anybody benefiting. And, it's just the blindness of city management not having any clue to what business is really about. Now, when you subsidize something, then it's also subject to prevailing wage. That's why the park will fail.
Ew.
So when you build there, you're going to be paying prevailing wage because it is subsidized greatly. And no one will build there. As soon as they see that fact, we could give a lot away and people still won't build there because of the cost of prevailing wage.
And prevailing wage is a union wage.
Correct.
That's much higher than
just
the on the street.
Right. And there's too many other buildings and places you can go. And so another big disaster for the city of Reading, and it'll cost the taxpayers $61 million. And they stole $10, $11 million out of the electric utility. I voted no so many times I can't count on that. But the developers do those things. And if a developer wouldn't do it, it's because there's no money to be made. And that's exactly what the city is learning, is that they're going to spend $60 million on that, and they will make no money. So a huge drain on us. We'll be paying debt service on that for a long time, and that comes right out of the general fund, and they've taken money out of the utility, again, increasing your rates, and that's incorrect. And even the city disagreed with the findings recently from the grand jury, and they argued those, but they're truthful.
The grand jury
said, this is a boondoggle. That you've taken, when it's done, it's going to be $60 million. You don't have anything to show for it. You have no management on it. You have no leadership on it. You have no vision for it. It's a total waste of money. And it's because the city needs to focus on the fundamentals of what a city does and leave everything else to the private sector, and it will take care of itself.
Yeah.
We do police and fire, and we do roads, and we do infrastructure. We do those things and stay out of everything else. The developers will gladly do that. If you get out of their way and let them do it, they'll do it.
Well, we have all sorts of, just one weird rule, like things I didn't even know the city was meddling in, frankly, where our office sits. It's kind of back in a bit of a flag lot, if you will, back off the road. So you don't see this fence. There's a long fence that runs along where all the little office buildings are. That borders on a parking lot that used to be a Safeway. I think it's a methadone clinic, which is bringing us an amazing clientele over on the other side of the fence. It's fun for everyone. But the little freak show over there, the people continue to kick the boards out of the fence. It's just a dog-eared board fence all the way down the thing. Well, it was at one point in time, it was probably a neat idea. They had these concrete pillars. Well, the pillars, the tree roots have come along. Now the pillars are like, boom, falling over. And they're not allowed to replace the pillars. They're not allowed to change the type of fence. They're not allowed to just put up like a chain link fence, right? That just goes through thick and thin. or something. The business has no ability to change the type of fence because the city mandates they have that type of fence.
Well, and it's incredible.
Well, how stupid is that?
And there's so much of that at City Hall, and it all needs to be fixed and
changed.
They're
spending literally, we have a fence guy out there. There's like a permanent fence guy.
Sure.
He's there.
On staff.
Yeah, we do. There's a fence guy out there. So the people who own that business park, how do they ever make any money?
Sure.
I mean, they're literally tied to a never-ending fence problem.
Well, that's why you see a lot of businesses leaving California and leaving Redding. And they're going elsewhere, and they're finding that they can make more money because of the ridiculous government overreach and corruption. And so one person can make a change. Michael Brown tried to. He got ran out of town. But I encourage everyone to step up, investigate, do your homework.
Oh, you're not going anywhere. Look at him. He's like going for the wrap-up. Yeah, oh, that's not happening. We're talking about more stuff next hour. You're our hostage.
I can stay for a little while longer.
This is a hostage negotiation. We're going to have it during the break, though, while you guys listen to the news. Hey, join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us. Post it on your Facebook page and stuff like that so people listen. And we'll be right back.
Oh, 20 more minutes.
No, we have nothing else to talk about.
lock the door.
That would be bad.
We'll interview the dogs.
No kidding. Hey, so second hour of We the People. Thanks for sticking with us here. And kind of an interesting topic today, city government. And everybody lives someplace, and you're all paying taxes. And that's the bottom line. We're all paying taxes. And you want to make sure that the tax money you pay, my mom's like, well, honey, they need the money, in the city where she lives. And I'm like, Mom, they're just going to waste it. And that's terrible, but 9 times out of 10, that's kind of what happens. It just gets kind of wasted. So, what's real, what's not? We have crime problems, need more police, need more fire, all those things. But is that real? Or is that just where you put pressure on the public to get a tax increase so you can waste it out the back door on some of these other things? Accountability problems all the way around.
For my 8 years on council, when I first got elected, I had no idea. And I'm pretty sure I was probably similar to, and I sat out in those meetings for 4 years and did my homework the best that I could, but I had no idea what was coming up. But I learned a lot in the very first 6 months. We had one of our top directors going to be possibly retiring in 6 months, or at least he'd be eligible. And so I asked our city manager, Kurt Starman, is he going to stay? Is this person going to stay or going to leave? Well, we don't know. It's his decision. I said, well, shouldn't we know? We should know. I would think we would want to know so that we could train a new guy so that he's kind of – so we have a nice – I think
planning.
That would be best for the city, And they said, nah, I just got to let it – go. And so I started talking it up the next couple of days, and, I got an earful, and Kurt called me and yelling at me, hey, you got to let it go. It's his decision. I said, well, no, we're the employee. We're the employer. He's the employee, and I just don't understand why you think that would be good for the city. But, I'm new. I just got on council a few months ago, so you guys go do what you want. So 6 months comes and goes, and Kurt comes to us and says, it's a really tough time in the city's history, and we really need this position, this person at this position for another year. And we said, fine, for a 20% pay increase.
Oh.
Oh, I was pissed because what Kurt Starman did was he conspired with this individual and put the city and that department at risk over money. And they knew it. And when I asked about it, that's why they jumped all over me 6 months before, because they needed to put us in this hole and not have too many other options so that we paid the 20% higher, spiking his salary for the rest of his life. Well, council told him no. And Kurt then turned around and gave this person a promotion in another department. And he had authority to do so. So that was my first 6 months on City Hall. And so when I saw stuff like that, I said, that's wrong. I mean, that's just plain wrong. You put the city at risk. You really lied, misled council. And you did it in a way that was going to put pressure on the people paying taxes, because there was no need for that. These people are pretty well paid in these top positions. He didn't need the 20% more. But because other people had got it in the past, well, then he should get it, too.
He should get it, too.
And that was my first 6 months at City Hall. And so from that moment on, I thought, all right, this will be a a bit of a hostile environment for me, because I don't like that. And I work for the people. I work for, at that time, 93,000 people. And we can do better than that. And unfortunately, I can't talk a lot about that stuff because a lot of it was closed session.
Yeah, let's get to some of that because I want to get into some of the union thing because I people who are not, you know, they don't grow up in a union house or know about that. That's kind of confusing, and Bob reminded me that we never told anyone who we are. And we started the second
who
hour.
Is this guy?
We're just like, the horse is out of the barn, let's keep running. So you're listening to We the People. This is the second hour, so if you missed the first hour, you'll have to go back and listen to that. But my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundy.
And I'm Ken Murray.
Oh my God! we need the sound of the radio, the record needle dragging across the thing.
And I'm Patrick Church.
Ken, you did a wonderful job filling it for Carl last week.
Oh my gosh, how bizarre! And Bob Martin brings us all our music. So Patrick was on city council for 8 years. Worked in his family's gun shop since he was four. So he's been there for a long time, been a business owner for a long time. And so it's very difficult when you've been in private industry to transition to that government side because if you did any of the, a lot of these things in private industry, holy cow, you'd blow up in 5 seconds.
Well, there is what you don't see. And again, I went to many, many meetings. I made every meeting for 12 years consecutively, never missed a meeting. In fact, I went to more meetings during my time than anybody did at City Hall. And it was important to me because if I got elected to do a job, I needed to do that job. So I made sure that I was there for every meeting, read every staff report, and read them twice usually, and sometimes more. But it was very, very different than private sector. And what I learned was that staff, particularly the city manager and assistant city manager, they're masters at dealing with the council and to handle the council, to make sure that they're felt like they are knowledgeable, that they are leaders, and that they are important, and that they're part of a team. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for me, my team is 90,000 people, not this city staff environment team. That's not my team. Those people work for me, and I work for the people. But they try to get you into a different mindset, and they do. They do it.
And in our city, it's a part-time council. It's right. $600 a month or something?
Yeah, your take-home is about $502.
Okay, so it's not like you can quit your job and go do this still pay your bills.
In my day, most people ran for city council because they got about a $28,000 health care, vision, dental, and health care for the rest of your life if you did 5 years on the council. Most of them did it for that. I turned it all down. I never took any CalPERS or PARS or nothing. I didn't want to be involved in it.
All the retirement system and all that.
Right. I didn't want any of that. And I wanted to be separate. I didn't think that the taxpayers needed to pay for that for me. I'm here to work for the people. And I think me and Gary Cadd were the only two council members that ever turned it down. And they really encouraged me not to do that. Everybody encouraged me to take it because they want you to be part of the team, right?
Sure, sure.
And I didn't want to be a part
Come
of this
on,
team.
Come on, wear the uniform. You'll like right. it. It's soft.
The team for me, for me, from day one, I really remembered why I was there. I worked for 93,000 people, and within my first few months at City Hall, I could see what management was doing and that they were working on making sure the team and the group is happy financially and that they're all together, unified, and very loyal. And they have a very group of loyal people that you can count on them, and the city can count on that group. And it was just not what I was used to.
You can't possibly elect five. There are five people on our city council.
Correct.
And I don't know if that's standard. Is that?
Yeah, that's pretty common.
Kind of.
Yeah. Some bigger cities are seven, but five's common.
And our mayor is a kind of a rotating position. It's not an elected position.
He has no authority other than one vote as a council
member.
But
when you get into the bigger cities, that changes, doesn't it? I mean, you have a strong mayor.
Correct.
Which means your staff.
You vote for the mayor.
Right.
Yeah.
And your mayor is your top person. See, right now in the city of Reading, your city manager is the top. He is your top official, essentially, and he's the most powerful person in Reading.
Sure.
And he controls that council. Now, you're right. If you have five people, how could he possibly control all five, right?
No, well, what
and
I was going to say
is
position. You right. have five people that come from all different parts of the universe.
Correct.
Getting paid $500, so most of them are either retired or they're working, at
Correct.
Which point they don't work at the city 40 hours a week. So they don't, you can't possibly know all the ins and outs of that. So you do have to count on the staff. So if there's sort of a, I guess if you're the figurehead, if you wind up being a figurehead, how can you ever be effective?
Well, and it's tough because, you know, these guys know everything inside and out, right? They know the specific details, and we know nothing. So we have to learn as we go. So it takes years to get up to speed to see, are they doing it right or are they doing it wrong? My job was to scrutinize everybody. With what I saw in the first 6 months, it was pretty obvious that I have to scrutinize everything. I trust no one there, that I'm going to determine whether this is right or wrong, and I just don't trust them. Now, for me, that means I really should terminate, you know, if I had an option. I don't believe that was the right city manager if I don't trust that person. And that's why I quickly came to the conclusion that I wanted that city manager terminated. But I had no three votes to be able to do so. And people eventually found that out. Oh, you want to fire Starman? And said, well, yeah, you know, I don't believe he's good for Reading. And I think history will prove that.
Why would people just kind of to get into some of the mindset of what goes on?
And to see this is how bad it was when you start differing, as I did with city staff, and start voting no on many things, we become dysfunctional. That was the word they used for me, is that this council is dysfunctional because you guys don't all think alike. And so they get the chamber and the builders and the realtors to all come forward, and maybe not all those groups, but some groups come forward, and they call us dysfunctional. I think Frank Strazzarino over at the chamber called me dysfunctional. And because we differed on ideas, and particularly fiduciary responsibilities. And
By demonizing and marginalizing you, it tells the public who – now if you go down the – I guess if you're looking at the sliding scale of who doesn't know anything – you know, the city council still knows more than the public because they're spending zero time learning.
You've never
all
heard
this.
The word dysfunctional today because most of the votes are 5-0s, occasionally 4-1, but mostly 5-0s. So they're not dysfunctional, right? If these people all agree, then staff must be right, and that's the game.
That's the picture they want to present.
How does that change? Do you get a strong mayor and
well, we tried that. We looked at Charter City, which
Well, and of course the idea here is that when you have these groups that are going to financially support candidates and get them there and put a lot of money in groups come behind and get these people there, you're probably not getting what you think you're getting. You're getting a polished, slick speaker that's probably extremely good at double talk. And the public, I don't blame the public because we only know what we see on the radio, what we hear on the radio, and what we see on TV.
And if the newspaper isn't digging into anything, things are going on and they're not. I mean, that's really where your education about your city, you would think.
That would
be kind of where it would.
My last run, which I lost for council in 2014 when I tried to get reelected for a third, you know, for my third term, people come up to me and said, I see other people's ads much more. And I said, well, yeah, they got, you know, $70,000, $80,000 to my $25,000. Yeah, they're going to get three times more everything. They're going to get more pamphlets out. I said, now, I'm walking neighborhoods more than anybody. That they're not outdoing me on, but they can outdo me on money. And they did. And it was successful and it works. And
look where that money came from.
Well, because people wanted everybody to just get along.
Right.
So if we get rid of the guy that seems to have the problem, that doesn't mean there is a problem. That just means we just need to get rid of the guy that has the problem.
Then we can really get stuff done.
Well, I mean, it's such a faulty logic.
Well, we're talking about some real serious problems that need to be corrected. People don't want to hear that. Right, they want to hear about, hey, we just bought a new park and we're going to fix it up, and we're doing this other trail. They want to hear about fun things. Hey, I got a bike. I'm going to sponsor a bike ride. You know, I want to do those things, or a slide. I'm going to do a slippery slide over here on, you know,
oh my gosh,
Shasta
the slippery
Street.
Slide.
They want to hear those fun things, and the problem is we have serious issues that need to be addressed. And when you start talking about those, and you differ with staff, now you're demonized, and that's what happened to a couple of us, me and Gary mostly.
But it doesn't actually make the problem go away.
No, and the problem
when we come
really
back, we need
back.
To talk about the union thing because that's a big, big factor in the politics of it all, the pressure of it, I guess.
Yes,
a lot of that, and the money. There's a lot of money behind that. And everybody's town's got unions, so that'll be useful for other folks. Okay. Well, I don't think we messed that part up too bad, boys. Good job. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted
And that's not how you should have to learn about your city through the grapevine. And that's unfortunately kind of what happens.
Sure. Well, you're not going to, the paper does such a poor job about really printing both sides or just put information out, let people make up their decision and make their own minds up. And people are capable of making their own decision if they have the information. But, you know, I don't blame the public because you only know what you're going to get there.
Sure. Right.
And if only one person comes forward and says something different, then that person's a nut. He's nutty.
And it might be just you.
Right.
Right.
You know, and many people fear retaliation here, you know, that if you come out and speak against something that you'll be retaliated against, and it's strong and it's real, whether people believe it or not, it's real. And one way to go prove it, go do it and see how.
Yeah, see how that works out.
See how it works out.
So the city negotiates with 11 different unions.
The bargaining groups, yes, and unions, yes.
Okay,
some aren't unions; they're just a group of organizers. They're, you know, miscellaneous or various things. They're not all unionized, but
so I mean, the ones that like just
but the big ones are, you know,
you have police, you have fire,
correct, and you have SEIU.
Oh yeah,
you have IBEW,
which is
International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers,
there
and they're very powerful. So in the rank of things, you know, police and fire are very powerful. IBEW is pretty powerful. SEIU, clerical and so forth, is not as powerful, but they have a lot of numbers.
And those are people who,
you know, they do payroll and various other things.
Okay,
you know, so a lot of different unions there, a lot of different groups, and we council members never deal with them directly. So I hated it, to be honest, because I can't look at you in the eye and say, this is what I think is good for the people of Reading, and then we could have this talk. So we make a decision, three people, three votes, in closed session, and then staff then takes that information and they deal with the union. So hopefully they got the point across in the manner that we did, but have no idea.
Right.
And so how do you have a good relationship?
And none of that is in the public, though, right?
Correct.
None of this happens in a city council
meeting.
All closed session.
Right. And so we never really get a talk to the union reps or any of that.
So
staff
there's
no
union involved in closed session.
Correct. It's us talking to staff.
Right.
That's it.
About what staff, they're going to go talk to the other guys about.
For example, typically when a contract ends and a new contract comes up with, say, IBEW, for example, you know, they throw out their laundry list. Here's 32 new things I want, and many of them have costs associated with it. We want this. We want this. This group wants this, that, so forth.
Better health care? What are we talking about?
Well, we want pay increases in these categories. We want to change what we pay for, you know, healthcare, vision, or this or that, or we want a uniform allowance improved. We want triple time pay for holidays. I mean, a whole list of different things that people will ask for. And so then we have to, whatever they throw out, we have to try to see if that's warranted. Essentially, if we gave everything that they wanted, you know, clearly we'd be broke.
But you're making those decisions based on what the city manager thinks he can get. So he's actually
Here you have the fox in the hen house.
Exactly.
Because he's at the top of the scale.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, it makes it pretty tough. And, you know, he stays pretty quiet on all that stuff, you know, but the reality is that's the truth, is that how can you really have good negotiations when there's people in that room that that all the department heads and city managers, assistant city managers, that they're at the top of that scale. So anything that happens down below in a positive upward manner affects them in a positive upward manner. And so they are encouraging to some degree some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody asks for a 34% pay increase, does staff often you know, approve that or recommend that? Often not. Sometimes they do. And I was pretty happy in my time that we were able, on a few occasions, three or four times, we had enough council support to disagree with staff's recommendation and take a different course. And one of those issues was having employees pay 7 or 9% towards retirement. We'd been paying 100% retirement. We needed some cash. You know, we needed to control our spending a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we put it out to the vote of the people. And the public backed us up on that. Of course, what does staff do? Shortly thereafter, we had a change in council members or council members' thinking. And so they gave some of them pay raises to compensate for all of that. So we went backwards.
Right, right.
And in some cases, the pay raises were in excess of the 9%. And you know, when you see that kind of stuff, and it's, again, it's not brought out in the paper that way, and so the public, the employees can come forward and say, you know, we pay 9% of our, you know, of our, you know, retirement here. Well, the reality is you don't, because you got to pay a raise to compensate for that and then some. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe not all of them got it because there's so many different bargaining groups, but what I was always concerned with is when you do something with one group, all the other groups are looking at it and they all want it. And so I was very much on the side of I'm going to be very cautious because it's not going to just be you. It's and rightfully so. If you get something, then everybody else should probably get it too. And can we afford it? And when I'm looking at the numbers and I'm looking at our costs and I see our costs continuing to rise, I'm saying I can't give raises to anybody at all.
And how does just for like frame of reference, if you were doing these types, because I know back in, I think it was 2010, there the whole matrix of pay was released for all right. the different jobs. Mm-hmm. And there were a few that like boggled my mind, like the person that ran the box office at the Civic Auditorium. I mean, and how many things did we have there per year back then? Like sure. six, seven? I mean, honestly, it was like less than 10. And they were making upwards mid $70,000 a year.
Sure.
Well, and I thought, well, what in the devil are we doing?
Again, you want your organization to be all happy and to be loyal. And so it's the whole organization from the bottom, from your janitor one, all the way to the top.
Yeah, because there were garbage truck drivers that were in the $85,000 range.
Sure. I'm going to give you a bad example. I mean, it's not a bad example. It's a very good example, actually.
An egregious example?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. We've got, you know, in the fire department, for example, and our fire guys are good guys. I like the fire guys.
But everybody
you know?
Was an engineer or a chief or
well,
something,
you're,
wasn't
you're
that
you're pretty
deal?
Heavy on the scale, for sure. You know, you're kind of heavy, lacking firefighters and heavy on captains and so forth.
That's it, captains.
But when you look at the total pay, the cost, as an average, and there's about 80 of them roughly, you're paying as a taxpayer $183,000 per. Well, that really affects how many firefighters and captains and engineers that mm-hmm. we can have, and it really hurts us to be able to properly staff those engines. And I can guarantee you it shouldn't be that way, but it is because of the effectiveness of the unions with the candidates and then, you know, the city, the employees and with the elected officials. When you're endorsed by fire or police, you're not going to say no to them.
Oh, right.
Now, I did, and man, I am on the list. And it's not the Christmas list.
But how
it's
does that, list. How does, I'm sure you guys have looked at it, how do we compare to other cities with yeah. with their employees in those same positions? Are we kind
well,
of within the scale? Or
well, we're always on the scale somewhere along that well, line, but with the with the police department, for example, we're the fifth highest paid police department in the nation. So
In the nation?
In the nation.
Wow.
So you have to look at that. And
they think they need more money?
Well, they always want to raise. They don't want to decrease, that's for sure. That's just human nature. But the reality is you're not controlling your cost and your spending. And so when you, if you really looked at these details, you know, and the police and the fire, they eat up 65% of the general fund for 250 people. They eat up the lion's share of it. Now, in any private sector business, you'd
say it's only 250 people?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Holy cow.
And they eat up 65%. So when you look at that, you really got to go say, hey, we got to reduce our costs, right? We have to do that. Never did staff ever make those types of recommendations, ever. They were going to bow down to those unions, and it's why you don't have the correct number of police and firefighters on the street is because they will not and have not controlled their costs.
And so if you're paying everybody too much, you have some really, really well-paid guys, but right. not, you know, too
but
many
again,
chiefs,
gets,
not enough Indians.
It gets back to right. if you're paying these guys at this scale, everything.
Right. Everybody kinda, goes up.
Everybody goes up.
So we got some really wow. big problems there. And here's when you look at all the city employees, you know, the worst, and I, you know, most people when they looked, when the paper did occasionally print all the employees' pay, most people looked at the city manager making, you know, over $220,000 and his total cost to the taxpayers like $328,000, something like that. That's pretty outrageous. But look all the way down at the bottom. And what really should be shocking is your janitor, one, your lowest paid city employee is costing you, the taxpayer, about $55,000 a year. And everybody else above that.
And again, how does that compare to other cities?
Yeah, well, I don't know, but it's
how
bad.
Does that compare to the free world? Can you imagine?
And you know,
a company, you know, a corporation,
yeah, paying their janitor $55,000 a year.
The custodian,
you know, and
50,
I don't know about all these other big cities and whatnot, but I know we can't afford that here in Redding, California, where the average medium income is about $35,000 a year.
Right.
And so when I see those kinds of numbers, I say we have to make some changes.
And you have to look at that. You can't really compare our cost of living with other cities' cost of living, and that has to be reflected in the salaries.
And so then when you go to the unions and say, man, I'm going to have some money back, you know, and it's going to be ultimately good for the union in that we're going to have more people, it's going to be safer, you know, but that is not how it's going to get viewed, and you're going to be on a list that you're not going to like. They will fight hard to endorse and pay money to other candidates and get you removed because they need you to say yes. And so really, ultimately, if we're really going to fix things around here, we really need to fix those types of problems where these unions have big, influence on candidates, either through financial means or otherwise. And that's affecting the decisions that they make that are bad decisions at City Hall that are costing you an enormous amount of money. Does it really take $183,000 to have one firefighter, roughly? It's wrong, and I guarantee you I could cut that in half and have quality men and have twice the employment and cover the pension costs.
Right.
But you want to take on firefighters? I mean, that's political science 101. Do not take on police and fire. And,
right.
But you have to if you want to do it right. And so for any candidates, like we have a recall coming, and for any candidates, you know, if that recall is successful, people will throw their names in the hat. Well, you better be ready. If you're really wanting to do this job, you better be ready to take on some of these unions and get these costs under control. And you know, particularly with public safety, it is an unbelievable job because that's where your costs are at. That's where the problem's at.
But the flip side is you need their support in order to get elected.
Usually, if you don't have it, you don't get it.
You're spending $5,000 for advertising and getting the word out, where the other guy is spending $100,000.
It's a wicked game.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, money talks.
Right. You know, that's why I ran and ran and ran. It took me 3 times to get on council, doing it on a shoestring, and eventually was successful. But most people don't have the time and patience to do that, like I did and like Gary Cadd did. You know, for the guys that were good, I remember the paper's endorsement. They endorsed everybody but me and Mike Quinn. And I really believe me and Mike Quinn were the guys that would do the job.
And Mike had all the math on Redding Electric Utility.
He would have done well. And the paper endorses all the others and says they do not support Jones and Quinn. And that's exactly the opposite, I believe, if you want to fix problems. Now, others may disagree, which it's a free world, but free country anyways. But that's the reality. And that swayed a few thousand votes, and that means a lot in local elections.
Sure.
And it's not everything, but it's a part of it. And so how do you get the truth to the public? Well, when we'd sit down with people, individuals, one-on-one, they'd go, man, I get it. But, you know, do you have the time to sit down with 14,000 people individually?
See, that's the thing.
That's the
and
problem.
If the newspaper won't, and I don't know, I don't think that many people buy the newspaper, so I'm not.
Hopefully nobody does.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they're that great a factor. However, they could be a source of information for people. And really, they kind of are a source of burying stuff.
Well, it was once a good paper, you know, and it can be a good paper again if they want to start printing the truth and print both sides. Their readership will improve, they'll make more money, and they'll be honest with the public.
Right.
You know, and just print the truth and let people make the decisions.
How many people do you, and I know it's not a number we can actually quantify, but what percentage of the city of Redding, residents of the city of Redding, do you think have any clue about any of this stuff that's going on?
It's a small percent. You know, for most people that I talk to, some have a little knowledge. There's a few that have a lot. You know, the guys that are work in and around City Hall, they do business with the city. They have been around for a long time. They get the ideas. They understand some of the problems and the issues. And if some of these financial guys, when they see the numbers, they understand the issue. But the average person, what you read in the paper, and you got kids to raise, you got white fence to paint, you got the mortgage to pay. you're just not going to know, right? You got other too many other things that you're doing to know who's the right person there. It's not your thing. And I was guilty of that in the 90s. I didn't know one council member from an ex. Didn't care.
Yeah, no, neither did I.
Oh, and I think the whole political scene has changed dramatically in the last 10 years or so. People are starting to wake up.
And they're upset. They're upset with our city going down the tubes. Mm-hmm. They're upset because the financial mismanagement of our city and the increasing crime that's not being dealt with that can. These are all fixable and solvable problems, but you better have some people that basically have some balls. I mean, and that's what it's going to take.
Well, since this recall has kind of gone public, there seems to be a little bit more of an effort of keeping some of the, like, you know, riffraff off the streets, I guess, if you will.
They do a little bit more just because of its you know, there's always an issue. You know, right now it's certainly crime. Before it was roads and various things. And so they'll work on paving a few roads to show that they're paving roads. We're still 40-something million dollars down on road repair. But they'll do stuff to try to show the public that they're addressing the issue. And the reality is it's only a Band-Aid.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so the recall comes up here pretty soon, right?
Yes.
So we have this recall. What do you think that's going to do? Think it'll kind of scare people into paying attention?
I'm all for it. I think these people and others should be recalled, to be honest, for the lack of doing their job.
Yeah.
So I hope people do sign the recall. And then I encourage anybody that really wants to work hard for the public to put their name in the hat. And I support the group that's getting those signatures. It's a lot of work. It's hard.
Sure.
It's a thankless job. And they're doing a good job. And so I'm hopeful about it, and I think it is definitely sending a message at City Hall that we're so disappointed.
We're willing to go to the
effort
to
that people are coming forward, taking time out of their lives to gather these signatures.
So. Because we're looking at going into deficit spending.
Well, they're going to have to cut employees. I mean, they're not going to go bankrupt in the next couple of years, but the general fund monies could be shrinking. They will shrink, and they're going to have to make some changes, and that means most likely people will lose their jobs. Mm-hmm. And I can take a couple calls that I have to go fairly soon.
Okay, that's exactly what we have is two.
Two calls.
Two
All
calls.
Right.
All right, who do we have first? Billy Bob?
Billy Bob.
Fire away.
Billy Bob, you're on.
Oh, okay.
Look at that. Through the miracle
Good show.
Of technology.
Bill. Patrick, I just wanted to call in. You prompted my absolute respect for you in what you've done for the city and how smart-thinking and independent you are. I don't know. I wish that you would run again for that city council seat. We got to have you there. Gary Catt, do the same. We got to have some people like you in there. So anyway.
Well,
thank you again for all your services.
Well, I appreciate it, Billy. And you never know. Every once in a while,
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, things have happened. I'm not quite 50 yet, but feeling it. Time will tell.
All right. Thanks for that one.
Yeah, that's a tall order to line yourself up, because in your case, you know what you're in for.
Yeah, and I did 12 years down there, you know, 8 on council, and I worked hard for 12 years, and so I know what it takes. And and the problem is larger now than it was when I was there, and it shouldn't have been, but it is. And so it is a big problem, and I know the stress that a person's going to have to go through. And so it's a daunting task, and it's not about the money. It's about fixing our city, because this is our city.
Right.
And that's what tempts me.
We're all paying for it. It's not like we're all getting some kind of a discount.
Drives me. If I ever did it, it's because I believe in our city, and I believe in the people that are here, and I believe they deserve to have a well-run city government, which they're not getting right now.
All right, and so we have Nick.
Hey.
Hi.
I wanted to ask Patrick a question. I'm wondering who of the two was the best at deceiving, misleading, and molding the council to their decisions. Would it be Mike Warren or Kurt Starman?
Well, both are very similar. Mike was the master at it, and he taught Kurt, and the two were very exceptionally good about controlling city council. They were exceptional at it, and they went to school in Sacramento to learn how to do it, and they were masters at it. Mike was probably better than Kurt, but Kurt was awfully good, and that is really, when you look at them, when you look at those two city managers, that is the thing that they must have in order to carry out their plans for the city. They must have a unified council. And for most of the time, they got it. Now, me and Gary Cadd may have been the exception to that, but Mike Warren and Kurt, those two together is what started us on this path. Mike started it, and Kurt's finishing it.
Do you recall the city council that hired Mike Warren? In my opinion, they should be ashamed of themselves.
They probably are. I mean, it probably goes back to David McGeorge you know, maybe Mark Sabila and a few of those guys back in the time. And it may have even been a little bit before that. So it might have been in the mid-90s, I think. And so you might even have to go back a little bit more to maybe Mike Dahl or someone in that time period.
Put us on this trail? Is that what you're
right,
saying?
Right. Hire that type of person. You know, and so, to say, basically the mentality was, okay, you're a little podunk nothing town, and we're going to make you bright and shiny and make you something that you're not. And the reality is we're not a podunk town. We're a nice town. We're a great town, and city government just needs to take care of the fundamentals of what government is about and leave the rest to the public.
Thank you for having me on.
Hey, thanks, Nick.
Thank you, Nick, and thank you, guys. I do have to get going now.
No sweat.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys, for what you do, and you know, and we'll all just keep plugging away.
Yeah.
So I appreciate
well, this
it.
Isn't
away.
This isn't only happening in Redding, California.
No, I'm
this
sure
is
not.
Absolutely happening elsewhere.
Yes.
And if we were to walk out the door and look around, it would all look fine.
Yes.
you can't tell by driving around.
Yep.
That these things are happening. So, you know, if you're not involved with your city council, you probably ought to be.
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
All right,
thanks
thank
a bunch.
You, Patrick.
You guys have fun.
Thanks, Patrick.
We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
See you guys.
Talking about Sweet Little Lies.
Yeah. Man, you know, city government becomes a, you know, you think it, because it's smaller, right? Everybody complains bitterly about the federal government all the time. But even when you bring it down to a little city with 90,000 people, you got all this stuff churning around.
Yeah, there's so much going on and people, well, it's like Patrick said, you know, we're all busy. We all have things to do. And so much of it you think doesn't affect you. So
you're not an expert in it. You don't work in it every day, so you kind of trust the people who do, and
hope they make the right decisions. But gosh, some of this is so underhanded. I mean, it's amazing that it's able to go on.
Yeah, we didn't really get into the whole part with the Shell Oil bribery thing because there's a whole bunch more to that.
Yeah.
I did read a big long thing on it, and I would have loved to have added more, but I don't remember where I read it. Somebody sent it to me quite a while back, and I thought, okay, that's fantastic.
Well, you're dealing with a lot of money there. That's not small time.
Sure, and if nobody's going to hold you accountable, you know, it always comes back to that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to hold you accountable, well, then things just happen. I was looking at this this thing on the guy that just killed the Sacramento County deputy, and the assistant U.S. attorney warned a federal judge not to release Thomas Littlecloud last summer, saying he had talked about shooting police and rammed police cars before to try to get away. But But, you know, the defense attorney said he's trying to change his life. And, you know, gosh, I didn't know that my life mattered, so I'm making decisions. It was only until I was sitting in jail I realized I hurt people.
Mm-hmm. What was your first clue?
Oh, that worked out great. Yeah. You know, obviously has a meth problem and all sorts of other stuff, so he gets out, and what does he do?
Exactly what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, she says, I'm going to allow Mr. Little Cloud to go to New Bridge with grave misgivings. I have to tell you, Mr. Little Cloud, you're not going to get any second chances here. One violation of the rules, and you're going straight back to jail. Well, the bad part is he killed somebody. So that's where our, our thoughts on justice these days are going. We don't seem to want to put anybody in jail for a long time because, it's too much meanness there.
Well, and then I think the big thing is just we're releasing, it seems like, more and more violent people to lower the numbers in our prisons. I mean, we've basically released all the lesser offenders, and now we're left with just the medium offender guys.
The car thieves and the burglars and the muggers. So and
we'll let them out. And if they reoffend, at least nobody's going to get hurt.
Right.
You know, like, please. Yeah.
Non-serious, non-sexual, non-violent, right? Yeah. Those are the three nons. Yeah. Well, the kicker with all that, too, is, you know, you look at what we've been talking about for the last hour and 45 minutes, and so as city government starts to run out of money,
mm-hmm.
And you find out that the police and fire are 65% of the city's budget. Well,
as they cut back on that and increase on these prisoner releases, we're really putting ourselves in a pickle.
Well, and the state, of course, is blowing massive amounts of money on Governor Jerry Brown's bullet train and, other ridiculousness. And, obviously climate change is a huge issue. I mean, it blows my mind. People are still freaking out about that. Oh, we should be spending all our money on climate change. We need to get back into the Paris Agreement. This is crazy.
Yeah, well, guess what's affecting us right now?
Yeah.
Big time.
They would tell you we need to plan more for the future, but anyway.
Or... worry about the fat guy in North Korea.
Yeah, there was
the fat guy with the bombs.
Yeah, there was a little thing on it was a Facebook meme, and it was Robert E. Lee. He's like, "Well, I appreciate my recent notoriety, but you guys really ought to be looking at that fat little guy with the bombs over there in Korea." I don't know. There's a lot of stuff. I guess you can't get away from that. Every time you turn around, there's something. There was another. In random news here, we're doing random news. We didn't really know Patrick was leaving early. Full confession, since I'm sure you can probably tell. We're like, da 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 da. But I thought this was bizarre. We do a lot of program material on, various environmental craziness. I work a lot with environmental craziness, so I guess it's on my mind quite a bit. Well, up in... Shasta Valley. So it would be up by, if you actually live in Northern California, it's right where Louis Road cuts off up in Siskiyou County.
Siskiyou County.
So it's kind of up in the high desert a little bit up there and not a lot going on up there. Well, some time back, and I don't have all the details at my fingertips because I wasn't planning on talking about it today, but there was a ranch owned by some people whose last name was Busk. And so the Busk Ranch was sold to the Nature Conservancy. It was like $14 million, I believe I was told. So, moving forward, what does the Nature Conservancy do? Well, gee whiz, they strip off the water rights and give them to Fish and Game.
Oh.
So they can use them for the fish.
Fish habitat.
Right. It's all about the fish. So, maybe we should take that out of their name. They're all Fish and Wildlife now, right? Maybe we should just take out the fish part.
Yeah.
Because it seems to have them mesmerized. It's all about fish. On this property, there were a couple, I don't know if it was two or three, dams that held water. It's about 1,000 acres of wetlands. Been there forever. Well, because they want to make sure all the water goes to the fish, they're taking out these earthen dams and literally dewatering the wetlands. Goodbye, 1,000 acres of wetlands.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? Could you imagine if you tried that on your property? Oh, my gosh, you go to prison. You can barely...
That's kind of counter what they've been working at the last 25 years, making everything a wetland. it seems like.
Yeah. So their
dams are bad.
Yeah, so they're just going to take out these earthen dams. They're going to let this all go. So this is actually part of a program. So now the county, now Nature Conservancy doesn't want the ground anymore. So they buy it for $14 million. It's now going to be worth like two because it has it has no water rights. So what does that do to the county's property taxes? Mm-hmm. You start to look at all the fallout from all that. So, you know, and that's affecting a county government, not a city government.
Right.
But all these things come back and are going to put pressure on the taxpayer. And all that's being done with taxpayer money, too. I mean, federal Fish and Wildlife and state Fish and Wildlife all signed off on this thing. And I just found out about it the other day. I can't believe no one, like, called or did anything. But they currently – here, I was just looking at this article.
If this happened in the private sector, these people would be going to prison.
Bernie
Madoff.
Yeah, they'd super be in prison. It's like,
you wouldn't even need a trial.
It's like, you can't do that. You can't destroy that wetlands. Like, say they wanted to build a subdivision there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it's sacred ground.
Besides the fact it makes no sense to have a subdivision there. But if it was anywhere else and you wanted to do that, oh, my gosh, you'd be in deep trouble. So one of the major reasons the county disagrees with the sale of the property, I'm reading out of the article here, to California Fish and Wildlife, is the state already owes the county thousands of dollars in property tax offsets. He stated that the Nature Conservancy currently pays about $26,000 in property tax on the Big Springs Ranch, and the county fears that it'll lose the revenue if the state were now to own the property. Well, if the state owned the property, they can't do anything with it because all they want is the water right.
Right.
So they can put it in for the fish. Oh, and by the way, Fish and Wildlife didn't respond by press time, so we don't know what they think about it. I'm going to do a little homework on this thing because this really, I think, needs to be told. They bought the ranch. The Nature Conservancy bought it back in 2009, I guess. So it's been going that long. But how nuts is that? We have farmers who can't plow their field to put in crops that they've done for over 100 years because, you know, rain might collect. Mm-hmm. Got a small depression of ground, rain there. That's wetlands. But you got 1,000 acres that's historically been wetlands, and you can just make that go away. Because you know what? We just want the water. Oh, well, okay. As long as you want the water.
Yeah.
Shoot. I don't know. Anyway, don't get me started. But the good news is my rant lasted long enough. And you guys are all just sitting here. I just want people to realize what I'm looking at here. I got these three guys. We got Robert over here waiting to get the copy so we can do our commercial free. Bill's looking at me. Bob's looking at me. It's like, hey,
you go, girl.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
We're all sitting at rapt attention.
Oil up those lips and start talking.
I am outraged. If I had more time, I would cut loose on this one. But you've talked right over the top of me now, and I can't even get a word in edgewise. Because I am. I'm outraged over this thing.
Cue the deer.
Cue. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And how about that Hurricane Irma?
Yeah.
All right, boys. Well, we'll
find out what's left of Tampa next week.
Well, I heard it sucked all the water off the beach or sucked the water out of the ocean, and now they have a lot more beach or something there now. So,
well, you know, they had that fake Boca Raton they were going to tow out there to try to lure Irma out into the ocean.
It worked. Now it's coming up the Gulf.
All right, we'll see you next week. We've got a fun show next week for you. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.